Really looking forward to our conversation here with attorney Donald Ramsell. You said it has a zing on the end of it, right?
That's right, a zing.
From Ramsell and Associates, LLC. You guys do a lot of fantastic work. I got to say, Donald, in the months that I've hosted this show and had many brilliant minds walk in the door, I've never had someone bring in their own book that is how many pages long?
Over 1,500.
That thing is heavy and big, and you really wrote a lot of the laws that judges refer to in cases sometimes that you are practicing, right?
Yes, everything is in there. Yeah. So it's a bench Bible, sometimes referred to, that everyone goes to as a source.
Right, exactly. We're talking about DUIs and all sorts of things along those lines. And let's start by having a conversation about what's in the new infrastructure bill. This made a lot of heads turn when people found out that any new car after, is it 2026, 2025, somewhere around there?
Right in that area. Depends on how these regulations are set up.
That they have to have some sort of quote-unquote anti-drunk driving system built in. What do you know about what they're planning? Do we know what they're actually, the technology they're looking to do is?
Yeah, I have a good feeling for it. There is a game plan involved. So basically, they call it the Advanced Impaired Driving Technology section of the infrastructure bill.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tens of millions of dollars packed into just that one devoted area. So three basic goals or game plans there in terms of the whole thing. Some are good, some are bad.
Yeah. It is a law coming out of Washington, so there you go.
Yeah, so the legislation's going to direct NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, to initiate rulemaking. That gets a little deep in the weeds, but we're going to have three basic systems they're looking at getting involved. One's called a driving performance monitoring system, and that's really – it's the lane departure
okay.
and advanced pedestrian warning systems. They're already in most
of
the
new
cars.
Yeah.
So this is going to become a standard, whereas right now you get it with certain packages. Sometimes it's standard. It's going to be standard across the industry.
So this is like you start to veer, there's a beeping that goes off.
Or, you know, your steering wheel shakes.
Okay.
And I have a Lexus where it moves you back into the lane.
Oh, wow.
So there's a little bit of a – it almost makes you it hard to change the lane. You have to turn the turn signal on if you want to leave the lane. Otherwise, it kind of gives your wheel a little bit of a tug.
Hey, well, okay. Well, that's the best thing I've ever heard, because people that don't use their turn signal just drive me insane. It's the easiest thing to do, people.
Yeah.
So these cars might help you help keep me a little bit saner on the roadways.
Yes, and it has the, you know, the advanced warning system for pedestrians, too, surrounding the car.
Great.
And so if you have – you know, I bought a Toyota RAV4, so it's not a super expensive car.
Mm-hmm.
It and I wanted it, so mm-hmm. – you know, if you're backing out of the parking lot in the grocery store and somebody walks behind you, you know, it scares you. It
jolts
for you.
Good.
Yeah, it stops.
And
it,
technology seems to be worked. They've worked out a lot of the kinks.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's never no problem with it, but and certainly by 2025, it'll only improve, right?
That one would think so.
Right.
You know,
so good. That sounds great.
Right. And that has very little to do with the idea of drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm.
That's just good for any type of inattentive driving.
Right. Or any type of driving in general. I mean, we make mistakes. So.
Right. You know, so that's one thing they're going to really lock in that's already kind of a pre-existing thing. And that involves cameras on the outside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go into cameras on the inside of the car.
Uh-oh.
So Big Brother's going to be watching you.
Really?
So, yes, out of the three systems they want to develop, the second one involves monitoring the head and the eyes of the drivers.
Whoa.
Yes, so make sure you're paying attention. So if you drop your head to read, you know, something on your lap or look over to, you know, your other office, which some people call the passenger seat, you know,
okay.
you're going to get in trouble. And
okay.
So the car is going to tell you to cut it out.
Hmm.
And the same with the eyes. So, you know, that has to do with inattentive driving as well. Pretty uncomfortable with that idea. You know, people's eyes are different, and you know, we all look 100 different ways. In fact, I remember when I was learning how to drive, you know, they want you looking all
the time.
You should be knowing everything all around, scanning the road. So
I feel like a spy sometimes when on the roadway. So I'm like, oh, hey, I know there's four cars behind me. I know there's two on the right here. And I think that that's good driving. So right. This might jar the system a little bit.
Well, yeah. So we don't know what exactly how they're going to tweak it and how tight the protocols are going to be.
Do they have this technology yet? Are there any cars that we know of that have? And I know I didn't bring you in to be an automotive expert.
There are experimental vehicles that are out there, just like Uber has driverless cars.
So this is coming up soon, though.
Yeah. Well, and then, the third system is going to be really the drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather call it, instead of anti-drunk driving system, it's an anti-drinking system when
Explain.
You think about it. All right. Well, the concept here is going to be to prevent people who have had something to drink mm-hmm. from driving a car. Now, the question will be how much?
Right, because each state has different levels, whether it's 0.08 here in Illinois, 0.10 in some other states. So what's the threshold going to be for these?
Well, that's a great question. So we were talking about that this morning at the Illinois State Bar Association Traffic Section Council. Everyone's concerned about it, and that's including lawyers. Where are we going to set it? Now, Utah has a 0.05 standard. So to be compliant with every state's per se law, we call it, or legal limit, 0.05, you'd have to reach that. The other question would be, let's say a manufacturer set it at 0.08. That's right now, that's where the feds control the highway money, is at 0.08.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, if a state doesn't have a law requiring 0.08 to be illegal, they don't give you your money.
Okay.
So that's how most laws come from federal down
right,
to state.
Right, they threaten you with no money. Right,
right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's how we all become compliant. So they're not going to set it at exactly 0.08. Because that would mean that any uncertainty, any margin of error in the accuracy of the device might allow somebody that's a 0.09 to continue to drive because of the inaccuracy of the measuring device.
They want to cover for that.
That's right. And if there's an accident, guess who's getting sued? It's going to be Ford.
Right.
Right? It's going to be Chevy.
So they're going to try and take this more carefully.
Yeah, they're going to knock it down. And anticipating what I know are the systems that are presently out there that they're probably going to put into place, those are already set at very low limits. So.
And do they not allow you to start the car if you reach a certain level? How does it work?
All right. So in Illinois, as with many states right now, if a person's already been arrested for a DUI, they have to get a breathalyzer in their car. We call it a BAID device, breath alcohol interlock ignition device. And that's set at 0.05. You can't start the car. At 0.02, they give you a timeout for 10 minutes to see where you're going, and they start reporting this to the agencies that are monitoring you, such as the Secretary of State.
Huh.
So I would think, first off, the whole idea of this technology is kind of the brainchild of Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So they would rather have a lower number than a higher number. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, but hold on. If I have a beer out with friends, or I have a beer at my parents' house for Thanksgiving, and I'm at 0.0304, I'm allowed to drive legally. But the car may not let me.
That's right. In Illinois, as with most states, if you're below 0.05, you're presumed to be not under the influence of alcohol. This is going to be the secret drunk driving limit.
Yeah. I'm not trying to excuse things. I'm not trying to say that these aren't serious discussions to be had, but if I can't get home and I'm completely fine because I had half a glass of wine, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I can see why people are worried or suspicious about how this is going to go.
Well, yes, because frankly, they're going to use technologies that have false positives and problems already. And so they're going to take probably a combination of what's already out there. They're going to try to make it the least obtrusive type. So I'd be real surprised if the breathalyzer, so to speak, becomes the
norm,
the equipment in the car.
Okay.
They're likely to use what's called transdermal monitoring, which is based on a science actually older than breath alcohol testing that says when you drink alcohol, your sweat, your perspiration will have a fixed ratio of alcohol in your sweat.
Mm-hmm.
So they use that right now on ankle bracelets for people that are on bond or something, mm-hmm. required to do that as part of a sentence. And it 24/7 monitors your sweat to determine if you have a certain amount of alcohol in it. All right. Sounds like not a bad idea.
Right.
Except the science is really dicey. So, for example, there's no science that tells you that the amount of alcohol that's in your sweat is the same amount that's in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And only blood alcohol really impairs.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to take a leap that if your sweat has a certain number, therefore your blood does, which is a great jump in the science.
Okay. Yeah,
it's not supported. So you're going to have these probably these pads on your steering wheel, on your shifter, that you'll have to hold on to in order to either start the car or hold on to it every 5 minutes or grab it in some way. Then they're watching you. So you're going to have cameras outside the car, cameras inside the car, something measuring you.
And I'm not someone that screams Big Brother at all. When people do, sometimes I'm like, okay, come on, it's not that. Even this is twinging me a little bit. Interesting stuff.
Well, I think you'll have less privacy than a colonoscopy.
That's a good tagline. Hey, that's a good place to take a break too, Donald. How does that sound? I want to talk after the break about, you know, with so many states now legalizing marijuana, how THC stays in the body and how it may be in the body long after you no longer feel the effects of marijuana or cannabis use, and how that means for DUI, stuff along those lines. Donald Ramsell joining us right now. We're talking about anti-DUI or drunk driving measures in cars in the future, part of the infrastructure bill. You broke it all down, and I kept on thinking, and you just brought it up during the commercial break too, all this new technological advances. Like, I have a 2010 Mazda. It's got 110,000 miles on, and I'm going to drive that till the wheels fall off. This new car with all this new these bells and whistles, it's not like these companies are going to, out of the goodness of their heart, pay for it and not pass on the cost to consumers, right? I mean, this is going to cost the consumers.
Oh, yeah. Right now, that first lane departure pedestrian mm-hmm. warning system's about a $2,500 add-on without all these other bells and whistles we're talking about. Once this becomes the standard, it's going to no longer, there won't be the average middle class family that's going to be able to afford two cars,
right?
Let alone one's going to be tough.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about cannabis. As the laws have changed in states and municipalities about the use of it, how have the laws regarding driving while under the influence of cannabis changed, been adjusted, or understood? Or are we in this really weird time right now with this regards to driving while under the influence of marijuana?
Well, with cannabis DUI laws, there are lows and there are highs. So
there you go.
Yeah. So we've gone through a phase where in Illinois just a few years ago, any amount of cannabis or a metabolite, so we're talking about the leftovers 30 days later, was illegal. You were guilty of a DUI. And then we moved into having medical marijuana. And with that, we had an exception if you had the medical marijuana card, but everybody else was still at zero tolerance.
Okay.
And then we moved into the present norm, which was we're legalizing cannabis for all adults. And now we're going to put something in place in order to grease the bill through and protect safe driving.
Mm-hmm.
So they came up with this 5 nanogram THC level based on only active ingredients. And there's a tweak to that. So right now in Illinois, it's illegal to drive with only active cannabis. Delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol, it's called, has to be 5 nanograms or more in your blood or 10 nanograms or more in your urine or your breath,
mm-hmm.
although there's no such technology for a breath right now.
Okay.
And within 2 hours of driving.
Okay. So how long does the average person have that amount in their system, or is that impossible to tell?
It's completely impossible.
Okay.
This is from a scientific standpoint, it's the Wild West. It has no connection to any scientific studies. I mean, I was just looking this morning, for example, at some of the most recent literature that's out there. And even the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration in the year 2019 put out a publication on cannabis and driving that said per se levels have nothing to do with measuring cannabis impairment. They're just numbers, and they're political numbers.
Mm-hmm. So can someone be arrested, charged with driving under the influence of marijuana, and not at all be high?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we have. I sit with the bill legalizing cannabis. The governor created a task force to look at cannabis DUI laws in Illinois. I'm the one defense attorney out of 15 people on this task force. So my job is 14 to 1 on most of it. But believe it or not, everybody on there, our goal is to rid the roads of impaired drivers,
right,
without bringing in the unimpaired drivers.
Right. So seems reasonable enough to me.
Right. So we're going to try to bring out ideas that relate to measuring for impairment versus just picking a number out of a hat.
Right.
So people that are, hate to use the word, chronic smokers, and
regular,
they'll know what that means.
Regular users, yes.
Yeah, those people will know what that word chronic means. Mm-hmm. Those folks have cannabis that's in their lipids that remains for a long period of time. So they're most likely to be subject to being guilty under this present law just because it's sitting there, not that it's impairing them.
Right.
You know, a tolerance issue.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know a lot of people out there might be rolling their eyes saying, well, if you smoke weed and you drive, you should go to jail. That's not what this is about. This is about, and even if you disagree with the law change, this is about people doing legal things days later, driving and being overcharged for something that they shouldn't be. And I don't think anyone wants prosecutors going after people that aren't doing illegal things. I think that's a standard thing that should be felt by all people in Illinois specifically. Donald, we're almost out of time. Any other last thoughts you have for us? How can people reach you if they need to? Because you clearly know what you're talking about here.
Well, I have a toll-free number, so here's my pitch. It's 800-DIAL-DUI. 800-DIAL-DUI. Rings right into the office 24/7.
Yeah.
Always willing to answer anybody's questions. I help people all the time. So that would be the best way to keep up with information on this subject.
Great. And come back again, because I want to hear how this board is doing. What do you have a date in mind when you want to have all this resolved by, or is this a moving target a bit?
Well, I'll give you a little sneak here.
Yeah?
There is a small possibility that they will recommend removing the 5-nanogram limit.
Okay.
We're going to see where that goes. So all we're right. Close to issuing a report.
All right, Donald Remsell, come back again, okay?
All right.